Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Inflation, What It Is, Why It's Bad, and How to Fix It is a non-fiction economics and public policy book by Steve Forbes, Nathan Lewis, and Elizabeth Ames. Written for a general audience, it responds to the return of high inflation in the United States after the COVID era by explaining what inflation is, why it damages everyday life, and what the authors believe would reduce the risk of future currency debasement. The book challenges widely taught assumptions in modern central banking, including the idea that steady low inflation is desirable and that expanding money and credit can reliably create prosperity. Instead, it frames inflation primarily as a monetary phenomenon that distorts prices, undermines savings, and harms people least able to protect themselves. Using historical episodes and contemporary examples, the authors argue for reforms associated with sound money and rule-bound policy, including a proposal to anchor the dollar to gold. The tone is polemical but aimed at practical understanding rather than academic modeling. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, inflation as currency debasement and why definitions matter. A central move in the book is to treat inflation not merely as rising prices, but as a decline in the money's value. That shift in definition supports the author's broader claim that inflation is rooted in monetary policy and institutional choices rather than being an unavoidable feature of a growing economy. In their telling, price indexes are symptoms, while the underlying disease is the overproduction of money and credit relative to real output. This approach also allows them to criticize policy debates that focus narrowly on individual price spikes, supply shocks, or corporate behavior, while leaving the monetary framework unexamined. By emphasizing debasement, the authors tie inflation to the reliability of a currency as a unit of account and store of value. They argue that when money loses integrity, economic calculation becomes harder, contracts become less trustworthy in real terms, and the signals conveyed by prices become less informative. The result is not only a higher cost of living, but also more confusion about what is truly scarce, what investment is genuinely productive, and what growth is just nominal. The book aims to make this conceptual point accessible to non-specialists because, in their view, public misunderstanding enables repeated policy mistakes. Secondly, how central banking and modern orthodoxies can amplify inflation risk. The authors directly challenge the notion that central banks can manufacture prosperity through easy money, and that a modest amount of inflation is beneficial or necessary for stability. They portray these ideas as entrenched in official thinking and as contributing to a tolerance for policies that erode purchasing power over time. In the book's argument, sustained inflation does not arise from nowhere. It is enabled by institutions that can expand the money supply and accommodate large fiscal and credit expansions without an immediate hard constraint. The book also criticizes the tendency to rely on technocratic discretion, forecasting, and shifting targets, which can make policy unpredictable and politically contentious. Instead of viewing inflation as a temporary byproduct of growth or a tool for macroeconomic fine-tuning, the authors treat it as a policy failure with social costs. While they discuss the post-pandemic cost of living surge as a real-world backdrop, their emphasis is on the broader architecture that makes such surges possible and repeatable. The point is not that every price increase is purely monetary, but that persistent and generalized inflation is unlikely without monetary accommodation. This topic frames the rest of the book as a call to reconsider first principles in monetary governance. Thirdly, why inflation hits ordinary households hardest. A recurring theme is that inflation is not an abstract macroeconomic variable, but a direct assault on everyday financial security. The book argues that people living paycheck to paycheck, retirees on fixed incomes, and households with limited access to sophisticated financial hedges bear disproportionate harm. Rising prices function like an opaque tax, reducing the real value of wages and savings while forcing constant adjustments in budgeting. The authors emphasize that even when nominal incomes rise, families may still fall behind because necessities often climb quickly and because tax systems and benefit formulas may not fully keep pace in real terms. They also stress the uncertainty channel when money is less dependable. Families and small businesses struggle to plan, compare prices across time, or commit to long-term decisions such as buying a home, investing in education, or expanding a business. In addition, the book links inflation to social and political friction, arguing that widespread frustration with declining purchasing power increases distrust in institutions and invites scapegoating. By presenting inflation as morally consequential and regressive in effect, the authors aim to broaden the issue beyond investor concerns and place it in the realm of fairness, opportunity, and social stability. Fourthly, distorted investment, taxation, and the hidden costs to long-term growth beyond the grocery bill. The book argues that inflation damages capital formation by warping the measurement of profit and the incentives to save and invest. When the unit of account is unstable, nominal returns can look healthy, even while real returns are weak, and risk-taking can be redirected toward inflation hedges rather than productivity-enhancing investment. The authors also highlight how inflation interacts with taxation, especially for savers and investors, because taxes are often levied on nominal gains. In inflationary periods, an asset can rise in nominal terms while delivering little or no real increase in purchasing power, yet still generate a tax liability. This mechanism can reduce after-tax real returns and discourage long holding periods, reinforcing short-termism and financial engineering. The book uses this line of reasoning to connect sound money to broad prosperity. If money holds value reliably, it becomes easier to compare opportunities across time, to fund long-horizon projects, and to allocate resources based on real scarcities rather than monetary noise. While not written as a technical finance text, the argument is that inflation is a systematic impediment to compounding wealth for ordinary savers and to productive investment for the economy as a whole. Lastly, the proposed fixed sound money and a dollar anchored by gold, the book's signature policy proposal is a return to sound money principles, expressed most clearly in the recommendation to anchor the dollar to gold. The authors present a gold-linked framework as a rule-bound constraint that limits discretionary money creation and helps stabilize the currency's long-run purchasing power. Rather than portraying gold as a nostalgic symbol, they treat it as a practical anchor that can discipline both monetary authorities and the political system by making sustained debasement harder. They also argue that stable money supports real growth by improving the reliability of prices, interest rates, and long-term contracts. The book reinforces the case for reform with historical references to severe inflation episodes, using them as cautionary examples of what can happen when monetary expansion becomes untethered. At the same time, the emphasis is on prevention. The aim is to reduce the odds of repeating a high inflation cycle, not merely to manage its symptoms after it arrives. Readers should understand that this is an advocacy position within an ongoing debate about monetary regimes. The authors write to persuade, offering gold anchoring as the clearest institutional commitment device for ending inflation and restoring confidence in the currency. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a forceful, non-technical argument about why inflation matters and what institutional changes might reduce it. Policymakers, journalists, investors, and financially attentive citizens will find a clear narrative that links recent cost of living pressures to deeper questions about how money is managed. The practical benefit is less a step-by-step portfolio plan than a framework for thinking inflation is presented as a policy choice with predictable winners and losers. And the reader is encouraged to evaluate claims about growth, stimulus, and stability through the lens of currency integrity. Intellectually, the book stands out in the inflation genre because it is not primarily a guide to coping with higher prices or a neutral history of past episodes. It is an argument for sound money and for rules that constrain discretionary monetary expansion, culminating in a gold-anchored dollar proposal. Compared with many mainstream treatments that focus on models, expectations, and central bank fine-tuning, Forbes, Lewis, and Ames emphasize moral stakes, distributional effects, and the institutional incentives that can lead to repeated debasement. Even readers who disagree with the remedy can benefit from the book's insistence on first principles and from its effort to connect monetary policy to everyday economic life. If you would like to support Steve Forbes, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.